the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
To our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
No wonder Rome is the center of civilization. Seems like every person in the whole world is here. It's so beautiful. All I have to do now is find a place to live and some kind of work.
Luke?
Yes, Paul?
That man out there, the one with the ragged and torn clothes. I've been watching him. He's unhappy, wretched. He needs help.
We scarcely have enough for our own needs.
Oh, I don't mean monetary help, Luke. I'm talking of spiritual help. That man is torn asunder with mental agony and hopelessness. Bring him in, please.
He was reluctant to come, but here he is.
Thank you, Luke. What is your name? Well, you don't have to tell your name or anything if you don't wish to. I can assure you, though, that we are not going to harm you in any way. Luke, this man is hungry, starved. No man wishes to talk much when he's hungry.
I'll see what there is.
I'm not a beggar.
Of course you're not. I consider we are friends.
Oh, no one is a friend to me.
You probably have more friends than you imagine. Both of us here are your friends, I assure you of that. And God and his Son are the best of all friends.
You must be some sort of fanatic.
And you? You speak well, indicating good breeding, and you seem to be well educated. I see in you good possibilities, success, happiness, peace.
Here's the best I could do. I'm sure it will suffice.
Eat it, my friend, and be refreshed and strengthened.
Now, why should I eat it?
You're hungry. Your body needs it, and your mind...
Why should I accept this from you? You have some ulterior motive in helping me. What do I have to do in exchange for this food?
Nothing.
You're not offering me food for nothing. What do I have to do?
You have to do nothing. But I do wish you would sit back, relax, and enjoy the food. I'd like to talk to you while you eat.
Your talk is convincing, but you're bound to a guard with chains, and that makes you a criminal.
I am not in a dungeon, not even in a prison. I have the freedom of this house and the privilege of having visitors. So wouldn't you say that whatever crime I'm charged with cannot be very serious?
Are you guilty?
In a way, yes.
May I ask what it is you're charged with?
Yes, you may, and I'll gladly tell you while you eat. Mm. Fair enough.
Give me the food.
Here.
I'm sure you would consider it no crime that my household is giving you food to strengthen, refresh, and build up your body and mind to withstand the vigors and hardships of your everyday living.
That's kindness. A sort of kindness I never heard of before.
Well, in the main, that is the crime I'm charged with. Helping the poor and destitute. Hope to the hopeless. Eternal life to those who are dead in sin. I, of myself, do none of these things. It is through Jesus Christ, one who suffered, died. And that is the reason I appealed to Rome and am now a prisoner awaiting trial.
And justice dictates that you be found innocent of any crime or wrongdoing. No human being could withstand the pressures, the persecutions, the unfair and evil wrongs you have endured, unless he be endowed with strength far beyond that of human attainment. What must I do, Master, to be like you?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and confess your sins. Allow Jesus to enfold you in his arms of love, and through him, live a life wholly within the Ten Commandments of God and the interpretation thereof, as contained in the words of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. Then you shall have peace, contentment, and be saved.
But I'm a wicked man. I ran away from my master. I took things belonging to him. I cannot undo these things.
Of course not, but Jesus can and will. He is anxious to. He suffered for you. He has paid your debt in full, if you will but believe on him.
But I stole money. I have no way of replacing it.
Jesus will repay that debt for you.
Money? How?
Jesus, who loves everyone, will bless the efforts of your master until he has reaped even more than you took from him.
I would like to serve such a wonderful master. The master I ran away from is a better master than most Roman masters, but he's not like Master Jesus.
Jesus is the Son of God, the Creator and the Savior of the world. Through his suffering and sinless life, we become the sons of God. I've talked enough for one day.
Oh, don't send me away, sir. Please let me stay, and I'll serve you faithfully and well.
You haven't yet told us who you are and where you're from.
My name is Onesimus. My master lives in Colossae. That's near Laodicea.
The Laodicea in Asia? Uh-huh. Near Philadelphia?
Yes, sir.
You ran a long way.
Oh, yes, sir. You said that the only way to peace and contentment is for me to repent and confess my sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe, but I don't know how to repent and confess.
You already have.
I have?
You just confessed that you stole from your master. You repented when you said that your master was a good master. And likewise, when you said that you would like to serve Jesus. Service and love are all we need to give the wonderful Lord Jesus in exchange for what he has done and will do for us.
Paul, sir, may I serve you? I'll be a good servant, even as you and the Lord Jesus are good masters.
I would that you could remain with me, but... Oh, do you not think that you should return to your master and serve him faithfully and well and honestly? Huh? Perhaps you can win him to the name of Christ.
Oh, Master Philemon is already a Christian. That's why he's such a good master. He dealt fairly with me, but not I with him.
Philemon, my son in Christ.
Your son, sir?
One of my converts.
Oh.
Will you return to him and humbly ask him forgiveness?
I'll do anything that Master Jesus and you, sir, say is right to do.
I'll write a letter to Philemon for you to take to him. I'm sure he will treat you as befits a true convert to the way.
I humbly ask you to forgive me for my evil ways with you. I've been to Rome, and I saw and talked to Paul, the one who converted you to Christianity. I now believe on Jesus as the Savior of any soul who believes in him. He wrote you a letter, Master. Here.
Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my... Prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
You... Master, forgive me?
Not only do I gladly forgive you, but I receive you, as Paul suggested, as a brother in Christ, even as I would receive Paul himself.
Oh, Master Philemon, forgiving. Paul, kind, generous. Christ, powerful and merciful, too. He changes me from my evil ways. I must tell everybody about Jesus and how he loves and brings peace to all who will let him.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
To sing.
look out your window. What do you see?
Well, I see trees, grass, cars, buildings, and some kind of bird.
Do you know that there are things out there that are so small that you can only see them with a microscope, and they can kill you?
Are you trying to cheer me up?
They're called germs, and there are 100 million of them right out there just waiting to make you sick.
I'm already sick. That's why you came to visit me.
I was reading in a book that there is something we can do to fight those germs. And I'm not talking about medicine or getting a shot. Do you know what that is?
Close the window?
We can be happy.
Happy? You mean as in ha-ha happy?
That's right. When we have a positive attitude and we aren't grouchy or angry all the time, we help our bodies fight germs because our immune system is working harder than when we're sad or depressed. So are you happy, Sam?
I was until you started talking about germs.
King Solomon said that happiness can fight disease.
Solomon? The Bible guy?
Yes. I learned a Bible verse last year that says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." That's Proverbs 17:22. What do you think about that?
I think I need to lie down again. I feel my bones drying up.
Well, you just go to sleep and I'll come back and visit you later. Sam, I've got to make you happy so you can heal faster.
You're a true friend, Rico. Like the Bible says, he who lets a sick friend sleep makes his bones better.
Where's that found?
Sam 5:2.
I thought so.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 7, Meeting Mr. Chambers. The Shoebox Kids talked excitedly as they left Mrs. Shoe's house. They had been dropped off there by Willie's mom to get their school things. Though she had offered to take each of them home, they had politely declined. They wanted time together to discuss what Mr. Smith had shown them on the house plans. Mr. Smith had first pointed to where a door was originally made at one end of the bathroom, but they were more interested in what Mr. Smith showed them next. Taking a blank piece of paper, he sketched the lines of the kitchen and bathroom just as they appeared on the building plans. Then he added a line at the end of the bathroom. The result was one solid wall across the back of the kitchen. "But who extended the bathroom wall to make it a secret room?" Chris asked. "Do you think Mr. Chambers did, or his parents?" "Maybe his grandparents turned it into a secret room," Dee Dee offered. "Maybe Mr. Chambers doesn't even know there is a secret room." "Well, he's got to have noticed the different wallpapers," Maria said. Yeah, but maybe he figures that whoever put the wallpaper up just ran out of wallpaper and couldn't find the same pattern, Sammy said. That's why we've got to get inside his house to figure out why there's a secret room. It must have been used to hide something, or someone, Sammy said. We're going to have to talk to Mr. Chambers. Do you really want to talk to him? Jenny asked. He looks so mean. Besides that, Chris said, what are you going to say to him? Are you just going to ring the bell and say, hi, Mr. Chambers, anyone hiding in your secret room? They all laughed. Well, there's got to be a way to get in there and look at the kitchen wall or something, Sammy said. They walked on in silence. How were they going to find out about the secret room? I've got it, Jenny yelled suddenly. The others jumped. Our school is selling candy bars as a fundraiser, she said. Maybe Sammy and I could ask if he wants a candy bar. Then when he invites us in while he gets his money, Sammy can sneak a peek in the kitchen. Or ask for a drink of water, maybe, Chris suggested. But suppose he doesn't want a candy bar, Maria said. Why would grouchy old Mr. Chambers want to help out your school and buy a candy bar? He doesn't even like kids. He probably doesn't even like chocolate. Maybe you're right, Sammy said, but I think we should give it a try. Who can help Jenny and me tomorrow? I can, Willie said. Good. I'll meet both of you at the vacant lot after school. And don't forget the candy bars. The next afternoon, Sammy waited in the far corner of the field next to Mr. Chambers' house. He kept looking at that little round window. Now he knew there really was a bathroom on the other side, but why would anyone want a secret bathroom? Sammy thought about the book he'd brought home from the library. He hadn't had a chance to read it yet with everything else going on, but he knew from glancing through it that many people during history were in need of a secret room, and usually it had something to do with people not being liked by others because they were different somehow. Sammy thought about his grandparents. They had come from their homeland to America after they were first married. Were they disliked or treated mean, too? He'd have to talk to them about that. Sammy looked up the street just as Willie and Jenny rounded the corner and started down the block. Sammy raced off to meet them. Hi, guys, Sammy yelled when he reached the sidewalk. Willie waved. They met up with each other at the oak tree and continued on up the street. Then they turned into Mr. Chambers' walkway. As they neared the front porch, they saw the steps and stopped. How were they going to get Willie up the steps to the porch? Then something caught Willie's eye. Over at the one end of the porch was a ramp built from the ground right up to the level of the porch. Willie pointed to the ramp. Look! I don't remember seeing that before, Jenny said. Me neither, Sammy agreed. Sammy pushed Willie up the ramp right to the front door. They stopped. This was it. Sammy rang the bell, and they waited. Slowly the door creaked open, and there was Mr. Chambers standing right before them. All three held their breath as they looked at him. His face was creased with wrinkles, and his hair was cut short and white as snow. But he was quite handsome, and his blue eyes had a twinkle in them. Yes, he asked. Sammy nudged Jenny. We're selling candy bars for our school, Jenny stammered. Would you like to buy one? For your school, you say? Mr. Chambers said in a raspy sort of voice. Why, sure. I always like to help out with a good cause. Please come in, he said, holding the door open. Sammy wheeled Willie up a small wedge of cement where a step used to be and into the house. Let me get my money, he said. I'll only be a minute. He walked slowly, with a slight limp, into another room. Sammy looked around and then walked quietly through the living room toward the kitchen. But before he could see anything, Mr. Chambers came back. Now, how much are your candy bars? He asked. $1 each, Willie answered. That sounds reasonable, Mr. Chambers said. And since I love chocolate, I'll take three of them. Willie handed Mr. Chambers three candy bars, and Mr. Chambers handed him three $1 bills. Thank you, Jenny said. She looked at Sammy, who shrugged. What were they supposed to do now? Thanks for stopping, Mr. Chambers said politely. Sammy began to turn Willie's chair and head toward the door. But I can't leave yet, he thought. He hadn't learned anything about the secret room, or even if Mr. Chambers knew it was there. He tried to think. Suddenly, he turned to Mr. Chambers. Could I use your bathroom, please? Sammy asked. Sure, Mr. Chambers said as he began to point toward the kitchen. It's right off the the only bathroom is upstairs.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 9, The Secret of the Hidden Room, written by Nancy Speck edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.